Last week, we took a look at a skeletal version of a class implementing the asynchronous aspects of Apex, batch, scheduled, and email. While powerful, it's a corner of Apex developers don't always have a use case to tread down into. This week, let's look at something a lot more common, visual force controllers, quite possibly the most common use of Apex on the planet. But Josh, you might ask, how long could such a template be? After all, your basic controller only has one real requirement, and that's a constructor of some kind. That would just be too easy, of course. The idea behind these templates is to give developers a starting point for what these classes can really execute, and there are a lot of different things that you can execute on with a Visual Force page. So while this template is going to be light on actual code, in agreement with the no functionality concept behind the templates, it is going to be full of commented code examples as quick reminders of how to accomplish commonly used functionality on a controller or extension. So let's crack on some commented code. The whole class is up on GitHub if you'd like to follow along at home. In the NaFunk version, most of the code you'll see here will be commented out, but I've left the comment blocks to the wayside in these examples for better code highlighting. Setting variables. Basic enough, right? Except that it is good to remember that how you set your variables in Apex has a direct impact on your Visual Force page, assuming you are going to have an Apex form component in use. That's because public variables will appear in the view state, which increases the size and time of your data transport back to the controller, while variables which are transient or static do not. Also note the use of an interior class here as a custom data type. This is very handy in a few cases. One, used in the controller example here, is to organize the data being sent back via JavaScript remoting. Second, you can also organize the data if you needed to specify how it would be formed in, for instance, an Apex repeat component. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Also note that the class itself is using the with sharing keyword, which will force Apex to obey the sharing rules of the current user. Most controllers should be using that keyword. Constructors. Constructors on a Visual Force page are going to be mostly responsible for defining the initial state of the data that the user will see. When I'm first writing code like that, it is tempting to just toss out some of SQL statements, fill some arrays, and then be along my way. However, I usually find that won't be sufficient down the road. This is because I'm forgetting the following frequently used scenarios. Detecting incoming query parameters. Validating incoming query parameters, important for blocking injection attacks handling potential DML errors. Notifying the user of custom error scenarios via Apex messages. So here is a constructor with that set of examples. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Note that last comment, it's a helpful reminder. You can't perform DML within the constructor of a Visual Force page. You can tie DML to a method referred to the action attribute of your page component if you need to perform DML when the page first loads. Another habit I have gotten into is always creating two constructors, one for a controller and one for an extension. I might never use the second controller, but if I want to port the same logic over to a page with a standard controller set, it allows me to easily keep everything to one class. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Callback methods. Now we just need to let our controller actually do something. I generally think of how Visual Force and Apex will interact in three main types. A method which will respond to changes via Apex param and return a page reference. A method which will be send a specific data point back as a getter. A method to respond via JavaScript remoting. Here are three methods which correspond to that. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Now, there is one other kind of transaction which is less commonplace these days, cookies. Once the end all and be all of controlling a session, client-side cookies have taken something of a backseat to server-side data management. Heck, when I first starting with Apex it wasn't even an option, but we do have the ability now, and the utilization looks like this. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. A thanks goes out to Keir Bowden, aka Bob Buzzard, for breaking down the cookies constructor method on Stack Exchange. Unit testing. You can't escape unit testing, not if you want your code to eventually make it into production. Testing Visual Force controllers is often very similar to testing normal Apex code, except when the page interaction itself is in question. This usually materializes in the form of query parameters which aren't normally set when constructing just the Apex class. To solve this, test has a method to set the current page being seen by the unit test context. Skipping code snippet for brevity. The omitted code provides an illustrative example. Summary. And there you have, an example of the most common use cases on a Visual Force controller. You can follow the whole NaFunk project on GitHub as it unfolds, and either start your own branch to suggest changes and updates, or as always leave us a note in the comment box below, or catch me on Twitter @JoshBurke. Happy coding, gang!